I'm calling this meeting to order for the Board of Supervisors and Planning and Zoning. Can we have a roll call, please?
Youngkin? Here. Lee?
Here.
Johnston? Absent. Guthrie?
Here.
Clark?
Here.
Menz absent. Jensen?
Here.
And then Board of Supervisors, Faisal?
Here.
Merkin?
Here.
And Heddens, I don't think Lisa's joining, is she?
Yep. I'm looking for approval of the agenda as published.
I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The agenda will be what the agenda is. So the review and discussion of the FY26 Planning and Development Work Program. So.
Okay. Thank you guys for the support and taking the time to come together. It's a little bit unique because normally you're doing this at the beginning of the year, but we've switched as a department to fiscal year. So we're bringing this in draft format to the commission and the board in a just a work session format, and then formal review by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be at the June meeting, and then we'll come to the Board of Supervisors following that, accordingly, like any other normal year. But past years, the commission has kind of taken an approach to approve it, and it seemed kind of awkward because there were some changes made. This will give us some time to make the changes, come back to you all, and then have a separate agenda item. Marcus has the work program on your screen because I know when I printed it kind of small font, but I did send it out and to you as well as attached the agenda. Just some ideas of what's going on the screen. If it's in kind of a shaded green up there on our hard copies, it's a peach. Those are items that have been completed this fiscal year or will be completed by the time the fiscal year comes to an end. So those will just be removed from the work program. Then the items that have yellow highlighting, we provided some additional updates from what we did for you in January/February, just kind of what's been going since then. These are items that will continue on throughout next fiscal year. And then we do have one additional item, thanks to Supervisor Merkin, and that's at the end, so we'll get to that one when we get there, too. And then after that, if there's any additional items to add, staff will receive that direction and then, of course, bring it back for approval. So the first one to talk about, and please ask any questions as we're going, the C2C plan review. This one is a little, I'm not going to say a little, but this is delayed, and it's delayed because of just staff turnover. We've just not had the staff and the time to tackle this as it should be. But that being said, we're internally making some modifications from the survey follow-up. We updated some information on our website, kind of streamlined some of our development review materials because that was some of the criticism we heard through the surveys. We took a hard look at our fees and fine schedules, made sure that they met kind of the expectation of work that staff is doing. So just we're responding to that, but just haven't come forward with a full-blown approach yet. That will start in earnest in July. What I do intend to do is specifically in Chapter 6, Economic Development, talk to the Board of Supervisors about MIPA, Mid-Iowa Planning Alliance, possibly helping staff do that. I've had some preliminary discussions with the executive director of MIPA, but nothing formal because I haven't received direction from the board. But that's an idea we're throwing out there. And then the urban expansion areas, we'll start working on really kind of more honing in on what those mean when we get a little bit maybe further this fall and approach them on a school district basis, because our school districts make up our really what our overall communities and regions within Story County. And so then start looking like, what does the Collins-Maxwell School District urban expansion area look like? And then tying to enrollment and all those factors. Any questions on C2C plan review? If you two over there have anything to add. I forgot a very important announcement. Leslie and I have switched places for this evening because as of Sunday, and I will not be here going forward. Hopefully it's just tonight. Leslie will not be in this chair anymore. She is now our county planner. So that started Sunday. Okay, next one is the climate resiliency planning. This one's taking on a different life of its own, given some of the funding changes happening at the federal level. We have been partnering with Polk County with a climate resilience strategy or climate reduction pollution grant. The EPA funding has been just halted altogether for that project. They are finishing up their plan that will have Story County incorporated into it, but it will not be to the level that was anticipated 2 years ago. That being said, we being Story County, has contracted with EA Engineering Science and Technology to do a climate action plan of our governmental operations. I'm on part of that team working with them, and we had a very good meeting with a consultant today, in fact. They are revalidating a greenhouse gas inventory we had done 5 years ago and then coming forward with some resilience steps just for Story County government operations. The other plan was for all of Story County, so two different approaches.
I do have a question on that then. Because it's now government operations as opposed to all of Story County, could we consider whether somebody else in Story County government could take the lead to get your time, give you more time? I'm just honestly looking at all that you've got on your plate and the things that you're needing to get done that really do talk about the entity of Story County geographically.
Right now is Joby Brogdon, our facilities manager. Mm-hmm. Management director and myself, we're the ones that meet monthly with the consultant. Linda, I'm not sure it's going to take that much time. Today was an hour for the Zoom call.
Okay.
But I can talk to Joby and see if he wants to go at it on. One reason I'm involved is just the historical perspective I bring.
Mm-hmm.
From
and I understand
being
that.
Here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I will talk to Joby and see, but this will be wrapped up by the end of the year. And
calendar?
I think it's January is when it's all done and presented to the board.
Okay, well, I'm just cognizant of your time, and with the change focus, if you need to pull out, I could certainly understand that. I'm sure that we could find somebody else to help Joby with it.
Just tossing this in, I think there's a lot of value, though, because even though we're talking about county operations, I think this can very easily tie into disaster planning and our CRS ratings and all of those things kind of coming together.
One thing we talked about today on a high level was the hazard mitigation plan and the COOP-COG and how that related to this climate action plan. And I think of probably anyone in county government, I have the most history with that particular plan. So it's going to be, I will be involved in some level if it's just answering questions. So mm-hmm. I will talk to Joby and find out what his preference is too. The next one is a density-based program development. So if you came into our offices and said, Marcus, show me everything you have on this program, you'd be inundated with lots of little pieces, because we've been chunking away at this on research, because this is an approach that a county has not really done in Iowa, to our knowledge, maybe Linn County, some elements of it, But this is definitely an approach that Story County has never done. So we need to be careful going into this that, one, we're allowed to do this type of work or this type of approach by state code and not send up any red flags there, because county zoning is granted through the state. Also, we need to kind of see what's the right code for Story County, what's the right approach. So Marcus has basically automated our LISA, our land evaluation site assessment, which will be a great use as we go through and start looking at like a parcel by parcel or section by section basis to see where a density-based approach might work or where it might not. That will also help us like elevate our higher LISA scores. Those are prime ag. We're not even going to touch those areas. Then we've also been going through some of our historical maps and mapping where historical farmsteads were in the mid-50s when the consultant first did our land use plan or our zoning code and our land use map, they called it. They put these little dots on. So we're looking at aerial imagery and saying, is that still there or not? That may not be a historic farmstead according to our regulations, but it'll give you some idea what the original density was in different sections of land. And then we're doing research on the appropriateness and applicability of form-based codes for counties. I don't know of actually anyone that's doing that. I put feelers out. It's a unique approach. Des Moines has a form-based code. They're an urban metropolitan area. I don't know how we make that, but the benefit of a form-based code is it's easier for our constituents to understand. It's more a descriptive code. The simplest thing, I'm going to say, so a description of the land uses you want on land rather than a regulated A1 district, this, and this. It's more of a, this is what we envision will happen in this district, and this is what you need to do to get to there. I don't know if it will work. Any questions on that? We do hope that that will end and have something to come forward by the end of the year. I'm going to put the caveat. I start out by saying Leslie has joined us. You now see we have another vacancy. So we're going day by day right now. So, and we are very, very busy. We've been hit by construction. The debris management site planning and implementation, the draft plan, this said May, it's now June when we put this together. We anticipated the consultant coming in May, but it'll be June to the Board of Supervisors.
Are you still looking for another name for that?
That will be part of it.
I think it should be something like disaster recovery collection site, because debris management sounds like people could just use it any old time, and that is not the intent. So I would get disaster recovery into that title. Okay.
Historic preservation plan, certified local government. This is an item that's in the implementation plan for the C2C plan, and it's been kind of pushed off. I was actually originally under the County Outreach and Special Projects Manager job description, and when that position started taking on ARPA, this went down to planning and development. We just have not really made a concerted effort. I did some preliminary research even before it moved, so I can go back to that, but we'll start that later this fall and see what role the county may have, what level of effort. The Housing Action Plan implementation, what I've done is this was approved, some updates were approved in March 2025. The highlighted items on the next page are tools that are in the Housing Action Plan that are assigned to planning and development. And then our office is actually taking the lead on the, getting the meetings going, all that kind of management of the Housing Action Plan. But when you see this next, all this yellow will be gone. I'll just go back. And we anticipate that going throughout the end of the fiscal year and into next as well. Local foods programming is, again, one of those things in the C2C implementation plan. It's an opportunity to revisit the local foods and farm programming that was done the early two, I think it was like 2012, 2011, somewhere around there. I'm not sure what that will look like, but we'll dig into it. I know there are some opportunities to possibly look at some nonprofits that are looking at local foods components. Beyond that, it's in there. We just have not done anything. Yeah, Gary.
Just a question back up just a little bit. I'm curious about undertake a feasibility study for the adoption of a building code. So what does that entail, the feasibility of providing building codes for?
It's for unincorporated Story County. And can you hold that for a minute? Because yeah. This actually shows up again
okay.
in a couple
okay.
minutes.
Okay.
In a couple. The next one, flood preparation recovery guide, that will be done by the end of this fiscal year. It will be done, but there is enough uncertainty at the federal level that a lot of our outreach when it comes to floodplain, we're not pushing out. We're waiting to see what happens because we don't want to push out information that is now not allowable. So we're doing this, but we're like holding it. We haven't set our annual notice to lenders just because of that. So as soon as we get an idea, we can be good to go. Stuff will be pushed out. Current projects map. Marcus had started working on this with Matt Boyk, and then we decided to switch with the approval of the Board of Supervisors from CitizenServe, which is our online application portal, to GeoPermits, which is going to be a really good change. But all the work that Matt and Marcus were doing that was really labor intensive will be simplified with GeoPermits, and we'll have a better product, more intuitive for the public. So that's in a holding point. We anticipate that we'll go live with GeoPermits sometime later this summer, early fall. We just don't know where exactly that will be. Erosion control and stormwater management outreach will be ready to go out later this year, fiscal year, kind of waiting to see if a couple of bills actually ever do get signed we'll just leave it there. I haven't looked at what happened today or even yesterday, so I don't know what's been signed and what's not. The annual review of the land development regulations, that's a great segue. Normally we would have had that to all of you guys before now. We consciously have delayed it this year because the chapter on county zoning was being, tinkered with. Better way of how I was going to say it. I think they may be done with tinkering with that chapter. But it doesn't mean we need to make changes to our regulations, and we didn't want to make changes and then have to go back. But specifically in regards to accessory dwelling units and our Board of Adjustment, we need to look at those. And then we've been having a lot of inquiries about solar, so we want to look at that. And then we just have general cleanup to do. Leslie will be shepherding that one through the process. Great way to really dig in and learn the regulations. Next one is our substantial damage management plan. So again, this is part of the floodplain program. The Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to sit in on a community assistance visit with our planning and development staff last fall. From that, we got some really good guidance from the DNR and some contacts in Dubuque to help us with this. So hopefully I can start right on that in like May or June. I guess we are in May. And it will not take long, but it's a matter of we're going to probably have to do some investments of software. I don't know what those – I want to see what Dubuque has and if they built something internally or not. But that will be good to have. Fortunately, we don't have – a large number of structures in unincorporated Story County, and this is all it would apply to. So if when we have flooding, we three of us pretty much know where we need to go to look for damage, but this will help simplify that process. Fines and fee schedules were reviewed and approved by the board in last fall. They went to effect January 1st. we'll look at that on an annual basis now going forward. And just if we need to make changes, we'll bring it to the board. But that doesn't now rise up to the level of our work program. Before it had been, 10 years since we'd looked at it? Building code feasibility study, Gary. And I think we're now would like to call it the building code implementations feasibility study. We did release, we asked for some quotes from vendors. We did not receive any. So this would pretty much be staff driven. But what it is looking at what steps we would need to take as a county to adopt a building code that would apply to unincorporated Story County. And through that, what building code or chapters of building code, what level, is it residential, is it commercial, what kind of staffing is needed, what kind of expenditures are related to that, what kind of revenues. We know it's a big thing. We just don't know. We understand building codes, but I haven't been trained on codes probably for over 20 years. I think that's the last time we bought the codes in our office. So it's just looking at that scale and then coming forward with some sort of recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, whether or not building codes are adopted or not.
I'm thinking of all the development out in the unincorporated areas, and I'm wondering if it shouldn't be a higher priority than medium. I think it's something we should have done a long time ago, quite frankly.
That's why you guys adopt our work program for us.
Mm-hmm.
I will put that, keep in mind, we're short-staffed, and this will be one that will take a lot of resources. So mm-hmm. We might even do a request for quotes again.
It's incredibly important. As someone who has been on a lot of sites, mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that happen that are very dangerous. So. Without throwing anyone, there's a lot of things that have happened that I've seen built that I'm very surprised at least one didn't come down with the tornado last year.
Well, I was just thinking about the tornado last year.
And the fact that it didn't is wild. So it is something that is important. There is a big lift as part of it, though. So.
But again, the three of us recognize, I think I'm going to speak for you two. We need a building code in unincorporated Story County.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding more and more people are surprised that we do not have a building code. And that tells me that it's in the hazard mitigation plan. It's in the housing action plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there is some reference to it in the C2C plan that we at least look at. I know it's in the implementation plan. We just not, 15 years ago, I brought forward a proposal, maybe even longer than that, to start doing that, and it was not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been talked about and talked about. Now I think we have to. We're out to a point. Mm-hmm. So, medium is what it was last year, and we didn't mess with it, so. We'll do it.
So what would it take to do another request for proposals? Or?
So it wasn't technically a request for proposals that we brought to the Board of Supervisors because we have the ability to just ask for quotes.
Oh.
And that's what we did. We did not. The one that we thought we would get from did not. I think because they expect we'll just contract with them, which ultimately could be one of the recommendations, but we need to know the steps before we got there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can reach out to the list again and say, find out why they didn't reply, and we can massage it and try it again too.
So there are other counties the size of Story that do have building codes?
There are other counties the size of Story that have building codes, and there are other county smaller than Story County that has building codes.
Are any of those particularly good building codes?
They've probably adopted the ICODs, the international codes.
Okay.
Not just, I mean, that's standardized throughout the United States.
So if it's fairly well standardized, why do we need a consultant?
We don't necessarily need a consultant. We need to have staff have time to look at. That was why we want to bring a consultant in.
Okay.
To do it.
Bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes forward to the commission, the board, you'd like this to be a high priority? Mm-hmm. This is kind of seeing the heads nodding.
Yes.
And that is it until we get to Supervisor Merkin's suggestion.
Which kind of ties right into building code feasibility study, doesn't it? And I agree with Marcus. When the tornado came through here last May, you know, I don't know what kind of, you know, as you're saying, it's surprising more things didn't fall down. I personally had experience building in the unincorporated area nearly three decades ago. And I'm often have wondered if some of the things that happened in our house would have been done a little bit better if Story County had a building code. Because I would bring things up and, you know, it would be like, well, no, we don't have to do that. Well, you do in town. Well, you don't have to out here. You know, there's no building code. You know, here's the proposal we gave you. And I felt really kind of let down. And I'm sure that a lot of people have had that situation.
And I will say there are certain developers that they don't care. It's their name. They're going to do it as if they were within the city limits.
Mm-hmm.
There are others, or there are people who are just, I have this land. I'm going to build my house by hand, which is great. More power to you. But when you're not reinforcing concrete, when you're not doing things like that, it becomes an issue and something that ultimately somehow could probably come back to us in a way. In like someone really wanted to push it could come back to us. So.
And really to do this, I know you've got a lot here that needs to be done. I've talked to Matt Boyk, and that's the reason when I sent you the email, I said, here are the things I think could be in an inventory. I've talked to Matt. He would be pretty involved in it anyway. He's our GIS person. And he said he would be willing to start it, you know, maybe with a conversation. He'd be willing to start it. He could get a lot of the information that he could get and then turn it over to planning and development, secondary roads, whatever other departments, you know, would have a stake in it to help fill in the blanks and what else. I had Matt look at the list I did, and he had a little bit of time because he was on another project that was time limited, but he said, yeah, that looks pretty good. We could get started on that. So you could, you know, outsource it to Matt to start it. Seriously. Because I don't want to see it as a low priority, and it looks like you've got it. You've got it as high?
Mm-hmm. That's how you proposed it. Yeah.
That's okay. And you got Leslie's name next to it? You know, Leslie could be a consultant with Matt, you know, as he started out, you know, she could work with him, but.
Well, and one, when we were talking about this, I kind of talked to the two of them, like, is there an area you feel passionate about? Mm-hmm. And, then on this one too, Leslie's familiar with GIS and she's familiar with the county, but she doesn't like, Marcus and I could say Eagle State Subdivision, and we can tell you where that is. Leslie hasn't been entrenched in it enough to just, and mm-hmm. this will help build that familiarity with the entire county, which just goes from being in there and doing that work. Oh, that's where, mm-hmm. that's where that one is. And so just putting that kind of face to the name, mm-hmm. and that's why her name is there too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We did not get anything else from anyone. Now's your chance, I guess. If there's anything else you want us to flesh out a little bit, I say that hesitantly because there's a lot on this. They're both like shooting daggers at me.
So I was on a call with NACO earlier, and they were talking about disaster mitigation, floodplain management, that kind of thing. And there was discussion around involving insurance companies in the early parts of planning so that they are aware of what's happening and have some input, and then hopefully are able to then pass some of the savings on to residents. And I just wasn't sure if this was a place where they are involved or could be.
It's actually one of our, they're not a work program item. They're just like a normal operational. Every year we send the notice out to insurance agents, lenders, real estate agents, and I'm forgetting a fourth category. Bankers. That's lenders. Okay. We send out this monster notice. We get a lot to come back, but we deal with it. So one, they get that notice. Two, when we do a program for public information, which we'll have to do not next this year, but next year, that's one of our components of our community rating system.
Mm-hmm.
That by design has to have a representative from a real estate and insurance agent and a lender. But until the federal government figures out what they're going to do, I'm hesitant to do much more than just reviewing the permits and issuing and doing the basic. I don't want to be that way because we take such pride in our floodplain management program, but we're going to push it as far as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But by design, community rating system, a lot of the outreach tools, they want the insurance agents built in,
mm-hmm.
and the lenders and the real estate agents.
I'm real interested in the density-based program development, and I don't want to take time tonight because you've got another meeting coming up. I don't want to take time tonight to say, gee, give me 250 words or less on it. 25 would be okay, but I have a feeling it's not a 25 words or less.
Not 25 words or less.
Yeah, nothing is anymore.
And we're still doing our background information to even come up to maybe a 250 word or less. Well, I can tell you that is in the hazard mitigation plan.
Mm-hmm.
That is also in some language on the housing action plan, and it's in the C2C plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how it's made its way to our work program. Plus, if it's going to be done by someone in the county, it's us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if there's some short read on the concept, I'd be interested in looking at it.
Well, I mean, basically, we have a 35-acre minimum in the A1 district. Is there an opportunity to take a 160, which would have four quarter quarters,
mm-hmm.
that would each be able to have one house, and allow the density from those four to just go to one and have them be able to divide that 40 into four 10-acre pieces without having to jump through all the hoops? And keeping the other 340 acres in the whole 40 piece. At its most simply, that is just transferring the density from one area to another and then looking at kind of where that's appropriate.
Hmm. Okay.
But not calling in transfer development rights or density because that's not allowed by state code. Or it's not.
You lost me.
It's not allowed. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah. It won't be that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It won't be that. Linda picked it up and reminded me, you have a page that's called Urban Expansion Area. That is a page out of the C2C plan that you need to take back and replace in your plan.
Mm-hmm.
There was a line I want to give I don't know if City of Ames is on the call to the Planning and Housing Director, Kelly Diekman. He pointed out to me that we had the wrong page on our website for this section, so I want to tell him publicly thank you for pointing that out so we could correct that. What was approved by the board is this language. We missed a green font thing. Mm. And making edits. So that's, there's nothing new on that.
Billy?
No.
That's it from staff. You guys have anything?
Thank you. Is there any action or anything you need?
No.
Okay. Just kind of an update.
Yeah, like at the June meeting.
Yep.
It'll be probably your first item or your last item because sure. I don't anticipate it
okay.
unless you really want to discuss it again. And we'll probably just put on consent for the board
yep.
at that point.
Too. I just wanted to make sure that I understood properly.
I guess I forgot Ben was on the Zoom. Did he have any, Ben, do you have any questions about the work program? Yeah, Ben does not. Yeah.
All right. So then.
So formally, when you guys are done in your work session format, just for the benefit of those on Zoom and in the audience, you'll formally adjourn.
Yep.
And then. You guys can go. And by the way, that is your chair.
Thank you.
I just watched.
All right.
And then you'll call back to order.
Gotcha. All right. So I need to take a draw a blank. I can just call. Yeah. I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
All right, meeting is adjourned. All right. Since we have the ability to start at the conclusion of the joint work session, I'm going to call the regular scheduled commission meeting to order. If I may have a roll call, please.
Oh, that's me and my sheets over there. Youngkin?
Here.
Lee?
Here.
Guthrie?
Here.
Clark?
Here.
Johnston, absent. Menz, absent. Jensen, absent.
All right. We have a quorum. At this time, I am seeking the approval of the agenda as published.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Great. We'll continue with the agenda as published. We have a few different minutes to approve, so we'll just work through them one by one. Is this the October minutes? Or what is?
Yep.
It is? Yep. Does anybody have any concerns or edits for that one? All right. Then I'm seeking a motion to approve those minutes as published.
I move that we approve the October 2nd, 2024 minutes as published.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Yay, one down. For the December minutes, I'm seeking approval for these minutes.
I move that we accept the December 4th, 2024 minutes as published.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Cruising. And then for the February minutes, same thing, seeking approval.
I move that we accept the February 5th, 2025 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting minutes as published.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. This is the time for public comment for things that are not on our current agenda. So if anybody is from the public that wants to talk about anything that's not on the agenda, this is your moment. All right. Hearing none. Doesn't look like we have any old business. So we'll go into the new business of the considerations of revisions to the 2025 meeting schedule.
Staff is asking that you approve revisions to the meeting schedule to modify the meeting submittal deadlines, essentially move them up so that the submittal deadline, with the exception of May, or the submittal deadline for June, is the same date of the meeting. So, like, for example, on June 4th, we'll have a meeting, but internally staff will be receiving items for your July 2nd meeting. Oh.
Sure.
We don't have time to do that for the May meeting, so we would move that up a week. We're simply asking that, like, on a pilot basis, one, so that we can manage our workload. Last week was last week. The 2-week turnaround got really tight for us, and as we know what's in the pipeline, and again, staffing is a concern, so. Pilot program for both the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment. If this works, we might come back to you and just say, hey, let's just leave it like that.
Okay. Any discussion on that from the commission?
I can see it from the perspective of the you all. From the perspective of the person wanting to get material in, that might be a little tight. I understand it's a pilot program, and why not try it?
Mm-hmm.
So for all the items that come before you, we have to do conceptual review. So they know.
Oh.
we give them all the deadlines up front, and we give them generally 2 months worth of deadlines so that they know coming up what the deadline is. So it's not.
No excuse. Thank you.
If there's no further discussion from the commission members, I would seek a motion.
I'll move that we accept the revisions as stated on the 2025 meeting schedule for May through September of 2025.
I second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, but it seems like that is important. All right, moving on to the public hearings. So, whoever's got this, take it away.
So before you tonight is a text amendment request. So this has been brought forward by Kale Boltman, who is part of Silo Club, which used to be the Indian Creek Golf Club. So just south of town here. So this request is to amend the part of the definition of what a golf course is. It would include cabins and lodges as an added thing to it. So staff is going to recommend approval of this with the conditions that the supplemental standards we have outlined are part of that adoption. So the two portions of the code are being requested here. Chapter 85, which is the definitions chapter, and then chapter 90, which is the conditional use permit chapter. So the proposed change is just adding the words cabins or lodging to what the definition of golf course is. Pretty straightforward. So within that, internally we had discussions. We did some research on some options of what we've seen around and came to the conclusion that we could permit this with a few supplemental standards. We wanted to hard code these in so that there's not a lot of ambiguity for citizens or for golf courses as to, okay, what's the P&Z and Board of Adjustment ultimately going to allow? So where we landed was a golf course designed and as a nine-hole golf course could have three cabins with an occupancy not to exceed eight people per cabin. So that eight people per cabin comes from generally a round of golf. You play with four people. A lot of times you're doing that in a group. So where we got there logically was just, you know, two groups of people going through, you're having a party or whatever you're doing. So, and then a golf course designed as an 18-hole golf course would have six cabins, same thing, not to exceed eight people. We did want to add one little caveat there that a golf course is designed as an 18-hole golf course if it has 18 unique tee boxes and 18 unique greens. So this would not be doing two rounds of nine at a smaller golf course. So with that, we also need to apply this text amendment against C2C standards. Looked at all of our future land use of where our existing golf courses are, with the exception of one, which is surrounded almost entirely now by Huxley. Their all future land use is already set as commercial. So that would push towards that realm of like a hotel, things of that nature. So we felt that it did match what that ultimately commercial light industrial zoning change could be to match that. So, we felt that it matched the C2C plan. This use also retains or makes it so that you're not disturbing undisturbed ground or prime ag land. So you have this area that's already been disturbed, build your cabins on it for this use, which the big part of our ordinance in Story County is to protect the ag land. So we felt that it did meet both of those requirements. So with that, we did send out, we had it published per the requirement on May 1st, and all three county newspapers have not received any emails, phone calls. No one's come in to ask about it. So no one really seemed to have issues with it. So with that, with these points, based on C2C plan, staff is recommending approval of this change with those supplemental standards that would be added to Chapter 90 so that it's clearly defined for us and for the public and for the golf courses. With that, as usual, there are your four alternatives, but staff is recommending number two, which has the conditions. And I'm here for any questions if you have them.
I understand the eight people. I get where you came up with that. What about the three cabins per nine?
Just based on what we had seen in other areas where, except for when you start talking about Honey Creek Grove, that's a whole different ballgame. DNR owns that. But all of the other ones that we were looking at they seemed to be around that number would fit historically around our samples that we were looking at. So they weren't building except for that one. It wasn't really resort style where you have a hotel being put up. So, and with the areas that all the golf courses are located in, that seemed like a reasonable thing that wouldn't be too impactful. Yeah. Thinking traffic and those sorts of things.
Was the Silo Club asking for a certain numbers, or they just wanted that with possible planning for it in the future?
So in this process, we saw kind of like a draft plan, but it was nothing solidified really. There was a couple of different drafts that showed a couple of different things, but to be 100% honest, I saw that map way late in this review and was like, oh, okay. They didn't ask for a specific thing and get that. So.
Any other discussion? All right. I would be interested in a motion.
Not for public hearing.
Yeah, of course. If there's any members of the public, I'd be interested in hearing from you about this topic. All right. The applicant with us today. Do you want to say anything about it? All right. You sure? Now's your chance. All right. Okay. Now I would open it up for a motion.
I move we accept the amendment with the proposal number two, that we accept the change in the ordinance with the with conditions.
Second. All right. I'll take a roll call vote on this one.
Guthrie?
Yes.
Clark?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Youngkin.
Yes.
All right. This will go on to the Board of Supervisors. Board of Supervisors. Moving on to the next public hearing item.
So again, I have another one before you. This one is for CrossFit Oxygen. So currently they operate inside of the city limits of Ames, and they would like to move this to just out in the unincorporated area at where 190th intersects with I-35. So what this would be is allowing them to establish a gym. There's a bunch of, I have some photos for it, but there's already a dwelling there, and there is a very large outbuilding there. No new structures are proposed. Generally, with what their use is, most of what they're going to do will take place inside of that building. So as you can see, here's the location. If you've driven 190th or 35, you've seen the large structure there. Closer up, and then what their plan is. So this plan shows 20 parking spaces, which would be underneath the 22 that they're maxed out at based on the size that they would use in, on the inside there. So again, existing building, they're going to partition off about 84 by 80 feet. And this was constructed in 2018, kind of changed hands, I think, once or twice. No one really, it didn't get ultimately used for what its full purpose initially was. Some of you all probably know where that started. So closest dwelling is over 2,000 feet to the west. Again, inside their buffer is the building itself to the other residences that are there, and the interstate is what is their buffer on the east. Again, fronting off 190th Street, 2023 average count, traffic counts were 1,770. So engineer's office reached out to them, as we always do, but on this one specifically, is there any traffic concerns? He didn't have any, and very minimal impact for traffic altogether. 180 compliant parking spaces required. They'll be able to attain that even with gravel. You can do a compact gravel, just like the Silo Club did for their 88 compliant space. And then with the 20 parking spaces, they have to have 4 trees. We require a tree for every 5 parking spaces. So those would be planted on the perimeter, which would help with the heat island effect. Mm-hmm. All lighting, they understand that any exterior lighting that they were to add has to meet our standards. And if they want to put a sign up, they also understand that those are required to meet our standards. They didn't have exact plans for that yet. Again, no environmental impacts anticipated, since there's no plans to actually change the site. So with that, the board concludes that all the above development criteria will be met. It must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that, completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that development will not meet all these standards. It, based on our review, it will meet all the standards. Broke one of them out. There's no anticipated impacts to health, safety, or general welfare. It's a gym. Generally good for your health. Generally, I say that broadly. All right. So with that, we did mail out notices on this one, since CUP to Quarter Mile. I think there was 10. I think I folded 10 pieces of paper, because that's all the people that are within a quarter mile, or there's all the property owners within a quarter mile there. So no one called, no one came in, didn't get any emails about it. So didn't seem like the public had any concerns about it. And with that, it's probably one of the only ones I've brought before you that is just recommending approval of it without any conditions even, because it really is cut and dry, you know, meets all the standards. There's no extenuating circumstances to it, anything we need to really be prepped for on this one. So with that being said, there are all of your alternatives, with option number one being the one that staff is recommending. And pull this up here. I gotta let somebody in. Where would that be? One second while we figure this out. It should be, and it should be open to the public, yeah. Look, you got it. Oh, okay. So with that being said, I'm here for any questions. The applicant is here or on Zoom. If you have any questions of the applicant.
What about the house right next to it? Is that?
They live there.
Oh, it's the same.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Just like, what about the house?
So he does have the affidavit because the property's in his dad's name. He does have the affidavit that his dad said yes to this. So.
Any other discussion from the commission?
I think it makes good sense. No concerns.
If the applicant would like to say anything, would love to hear from them.
Oh, there we go. Yes. Thank you very much for the opportunity. My name is Mike Mogard, it's a really unique opportunity for our family to be able to do something like this and offer a service, on our property. And it's just something we're really excited about. And the gym has been an important piece, of just health and wellness for our family. And it's something we've really enjoyed sharing with people of Story County. And we'd just be really excited about the opportunity to be able to continue to offer this service, a little closer to home. So, just want to say thanks a lot for hearing it out and your consideration.
All right. Are there any members of the public that have anything to say on this particular topic? All right, hearing no, unless there's any other discussion, I would be willing to entertain a motion.
Can't read it with a...
Yep. I'm working on it.
I would make a motion that we accept item number one, that we do approve the conditional use permit as stated without any conditions.
I second.
I could get a roll call vote, please.
Clark?
Yes.
Youngkin?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Guthrie?
Yes.
Jensen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it carries. Where does it go from here? Does it go anywhere?
Board of Adjustment.
Board of Adjustment. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next public hearing item.
I need to, this is the Manass one, right? I need to recant myself from this discussion.
Okay. Noted.
Okay. Thank you for letting us switch places or at least get me over here. Because as I was sitting there, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to turn my head and see everything that you're seeing. This is a request for a rezoning, from Manatz. It's OZM 25-000001. On the phone or on the Zoom are representatives from Manatz. They have brought this forward. The property is located 1901 South Dayton Avenue. If you're familiar with Dayton and Highway 30, it is on the southwest corner as you get off that intersection. There are two parcels I'll show you here in a second that are under consideration. Actually, the northern parcel is the smaller of the two, and that's that 6.42 acres. I have those backwards. Net acres, gross is 10.06. The larger is on the south side, and that is 27.91 acres net. The right-of-way is taken out, and that's why it's reduced in size. The districts are the A1 agricultural and commercial light industrial, and then this is also in the Kelly Fire District, Mary Greeley Ambulance, Story County Sheriff's Office. It's part of the Drainage Ditch 13, South Skunk River Watershed. It's within the Ames School District boundaries and the Ames Municipal Electric boundaries. Our C2C plan designations for the site are urban expansion and natural resource areas. So this is the property proposed to be rezoned. You see this is the commercial light industrial component. And then on the south side, the larger parcel is the agricultural A1 agricultural district. The request is to rezone from that combination A1 CLI to HI heavy industrial. It's being brought forth in line with section 92.06, amending the official zoning map of the Story County Code of Ordinances. Just because this is really a unique site that has a considerable amount of history with this nature of this use in a temporary format, I want to kind of go over the chronology. I didn't capture everything in as much detail as I did in the staff report, as what's outlined in the staff report, but I did make some highlights on the slide that for your benefit and those joining us, I'm going to go through. This kind of starts back in 2013 when a floodplain permit was issued in an agricultural exemption, so exempting it from county zoning authority, to the property owner at that time to build a pole building, to place fill and put a pole building. The fill was placed. Ultimately, the pole building was not. So actually, a few years later, that pole building permit was revoked. But through that property was leased by Manatz from that property owner starting in 2017. And that's really when we start to see the emergence of the temporary construction and demolition site. It was actually permitted temporarily as a temporary construction and demolition landfill site. And so it went through different iterations of a conditional use permit to the Board of Adjustment with some time delineations put on it. Again, recognizing the temporary nature of it. The first action for the Board of Adjustment was just mainly on that northern piece, and that went through 2021. 2028, floodplain permits were issued, and then there was action taken to add that second southern piece. That's a separate conditional use permit at that point. Again, a floodplain permit issued then. We jump ahead to 2021 because both of the one was given a 2021 deadline, one was given a 2018 deadline. Again, these were tied to the flyover improvements and improvements along Interstate 35, the widening and all those that we've experienced over the past few years. That's why the different kind of growth and shrinkage of the conditional use permits. 2021, a modification was brought forward to that second conditional use permit to extend that out 3 years so that they matched to 2021. Then we get to 2022 where the deadline had expired. and planning and development started enforcing on the conditional use permits to really start to meet, develop and work with the applicant on a schedule of compliance. That schedule of compliance then kind of extended that deadline out till December 31st, 2024. So last year, our staff started working with Manaz to, in acknowledgement of that deadline coming forward and the use still being there, trying to understand what was going to be done on the site. So they proposed locating a temporary concrete plan. At that point, we said, you can't do anything else temporary. You need to actually have another conditional use permit, or you need to be zoned accordingly. Our zoning would not allow that either. So, and we did issue a floodplain permit for some of the temporary uses that were occurring, just so we could make sure we were in accordance with our regulations on the floodplain end, which is separate from what you all deal with. A conceptual review meeting was held with Manaz. Those options of a conditional use permit or potentially amending the text of the ordinance were discussed with them. As you know, they brought forward a text amendment to the H1 heavy industrial district that was then ultimately approved this year in 2025. And now we are here with the rezoning because it's been amended the text. They can come forward with a request to rezone the property to allow this to a permanent site. Any questions on the chronology and the history before I go forward? Now I'm going to go through the standards for approval of the rezonings. As you know, there are several standards that are defined in the Code of Ordinances that all rezonings must adhere to. The first one addresses conformance with our C2C comprehensive plan. So in staff report, we mentioned that staff's under the staff notes that this does conform to Chapter 5 land use of the Cornerstone to Capstone, or may, with the application of conditions of approval. And we do have recommended conditions of approval. But when you look at the zoning compatibility matrix, the nature of the use and the H1 heavy industrial district would be compatible with urban expansion areas. The staff report went into some greater detail on the urban expansion areas and listed the principles. What I want to just touch on with this slide, though, is note those two bullet points. Really, when the urban expansion areas surround our communities, and they're put in place acknowledging that these are logical extensions of communities. So we have the language that says, in some instances, development standards of the community would be more applicable to proposed development if it does occur in the unincorporated areas. And then we recommends usage of a conditional rezoning agreements and annexation agreements to facilitate transition into the city. In particular, staff does recommend conditional approval, talking about this annexation agreement that I'll get to when I talk about the standards for approval. What we do assert, though, that this type of use, concrete and asphalt recycling, would be consistent with the Cornerstone to Capstone plan and the urban expansion areas, as these uses are generally clustered adjacent to city limits. They are high intense uses that may be more appropriate in unincorporated areas. This is along a paved road. Our county engineer did not know any traffic concerns related with the rezoning. But like taking that a step further, the nature of these uses really do facilitate improvements to our overall infrastructure system, whether that be why these were originally set there as a temporary. And we all know what is happening with expansions along Interstate 35 and Highway 30 and other roadways throughout Story County, and they could be viewed as necessary components for a local economy, and this may be an appropriate location if some other standards can be or conditions can be applied to it. We do recommend that prior to the third and final consideration of the ordinance by the Board of Supervisors, so as a rezoning, you recommend to the board, and they have three considerations. Before that third and final consideration, though, before we even schedule it, the applicants in the City of Ames have reached that annexation agreement That defines the time frames for annexing the property, as well as what the expectations are for the property upon annexation, whether they have to make connections to city services or not. The next standard for approval addresses how the proposed rezoning is in conformance with the statement of intent for the proposed district and district requirements. The statement of intent is on the screen. I won't really read that for the benefit. It was in the staff report, but it is, for our land use goes, it's probably our most intense zoning district because it is an industrial district. We have very limited. It is the, I'm drawing a blank, what's called the site on Riverside. I can't think of it, where they extract from underground, the underground mine, the mine, Martin Marietta. Yeah, we have some on there, and I think that might be all we have. It is very limited throughout Story County. Key to this is no residences shall be permitted in this district. That just goes to the nature of these. If you look at the list of permitted uses, these are very intense uses. Again, as you know, that H1 district was amended earlier this year at the request of Manats, however, to add concrete mixing, concrete products manufacture, and concrete and asphalt recycling and stockpiling materials subject to the following standards. So any use of this nature would need to meet those four standards. Any development of the site, in addition to meeting those standards, will have to meet our regulations set forth in Chapter 88, which is our general site planning standards. That is where we'll look at everything from landscaping requirements, parking lot, all that is within Chapter 88. And then along this lines, too, and we said this at the time of the text amendment, staff does recommend a condition of approval that limits the rezoning of the site, that only this type of land use of the list of permitted uses would be permitted on this site. So anything else in the H1 district, they could not do on this site unless they were to rezone it. The proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns is our next standard for approval. I noted this earlier, but we are contiguous to city limits of Ames and a paved road, but we're also near gravel and sand extraction sites and possibly future sand and gravel extraction sites. This is an area of the county, very few areas of Story County where these resources still remain. To the north is that Highway 30 that kind of forms that hard buffer between this use and the hotels and the car dealership and everything that's north of 30. And it does take access from the paved road. I've already mentioned that it will go through that Chapter 88, and that's where we'll talk about fencing. We'll talk about just however it appears on the site and how it meshes with surrounding land uses. Then the next standard for approval is how we look at how we protect environmental resources. We specify that parcels that have 50% of gross acreage as lands identified on our C2C plan as natural resource areas cannot be rezoned to a designation that's more restrictive than the current, which we would be doing in this case, without conditions of approval, or it just can't be denied. Through the review of interagency review, our Story County Conservation Director, Michael Cox, mentioned some concerns. With that, staff did craft conditions of approval related to his concerns. That would be working with Story County Conservation. The applicant shall place appropriate portions of both parcels into a conservation easement or agree to rezone the property to Greenbelt Conservation District. This area shall be described in writing with the legal description prior to the third and final consideration of the ordinance rezoning to the H1 Industrial District. On this piece, primarily what we are thinking as a staff is the applicants propose to have areas removed from the floodplain. Those areas that are removed from the floodplain and approved by FEMA would be the areas that would be rezoned. But we would need a defined legal description, and that could take some time, and The applicants can share with you where they are in the time frame on having it removed from the floodplain when you open up for applicant comments. The other comment that staff, other condition that staff suggested, again, working with conservation, the applicant should identify the species, size, and quantities of their proposed hedge, and such landscaping shall be installed at the time zoning permits are issued. In the applicant narrative, the applicants do propose a hedge to help address the compatibility and screening of the site. Given the natural resources on site, we think it's appropriate that conservation be able to help dictate and determine the types of species and quantities so that there's a no impact to the natural resources. The next standard for approval is when we're zoning from A1 or A2 to another district, we apply the LISA score. And this is contiguous, and if it's too high, that rezoning shall not be approved. As this is contiguous to city limits and in a very urban area of the city, primarily the LISA scores, they do fall under the thresholds and is appropriate to rezone. I've already mentioned that Mike with Story County Conservation did review this through interagency review. He did note, again, the entire parcel in the natural resource area. He did go on to suggest that he supported the rezone with conditions, and so we crafted kind of ours based on some of that language, too. And then floodplain management, we, as noted, it is the entire site is currently mapped as floodplain, according to the National Flood Insurance Program. The applicants did provide a letter of map change, actually a letter map revision based on fill. We've had several staff members input it take the legal description and input it into our system. We're not sure it's accurately reflecting what they intend, so I've been working with the applicant to see what was submitted to FEMA as opposed to what was ultimately approved. But ultimately, if it does go forward, we're saying we can't do anything to that third consideration anyway. Notices were sent out to surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the proposed rezoning on April 28th, and then legal notice was published for tonight's meeting as well as the Board of Supervisors on May 20th in the Ames Tribune, Nevada Journal. Oh, May 1st. Yeah, what did I say? May 20th. Oh, the meeting's on May 20th, though. The notices were published on May 1st. Staff did receive a phone call, and we've been playing phone tag today with Mr. Jensen, and he is here and may have some comments to offer. We weren't able to connect on the phone today. But at the time, the staff report was prepared as well as this presentation. No written public commentary was received. We did also forward the notice to City of Ames on April 29th regarding your meeting as well as the Board of Supervisors. They did write a letter recommending that Story County deny the rezoning and provide a justification for their request, and that letter was attached to your staff report as well. Section 92.06, subsection 3, conditions of approval, is specified in our ordinance that when certain uses are more intense in nature, that rezonings are more appropriate, that rezoning may be more appropriately applied with conditions of approval. They must be reasonable. They must be imposed to satisfy public needs, be based and related to the rezoning application, related to the physical development and or operation of the property, and must be in conformity to adopted plans and policies. One thing I will know, if you'll recall, in my very first slide on the standards for approval, I said that urban expansion areas does dictate that rezonings in the urban expansion area need to have a conditional rezoning. That's one of the principles in there. Section B also says such conditions may limit the range of uses on the property, and then specifies four sections that may be for which the conditions may be crafted: compatibility, transition, vehicle circulation, and signs and lighting. So our conditions of approval, as we've crafted this, have kept this in mind. So the four recommended conditions of approval are on that slide. I've said them as I've gone, so I won't reiterate them. They are contained in the staff report as well. And with that, staff does I failed. It's number two is your alternative. I forgot to bold it, but we do recommend approval with conditions of approval, and then we'll place this on the May 20th agenda of the Board of Supervisors. Are there any questions?
So we're just approving the rezoning, not any specific site plans per se or anything, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
The site plan will be an administrative review, and then because it's commercial as well, it starts an administrative review, and then the Board of Supervisors will take action on commercial site plans.
So what I take wasn't action. What I'm not sure on, and maybe it was in there, I didn't quite understand, is this an expansion of the actual site into a broader area to be able to do this, or is it just a reuse in a heavier way with the site that they're already using?
I think if the applicants can address that, what their long-term nature of the improvements are, that would be appropriate when commission comments are done or questions are done.
Okay.
I can tell you what I've heard, but I think you'd hear better directly from them.
All right. Well, I guess if the applicant has some things to say, that would probably be helpful at this point to clear that up.
Yeah. Hi, this is Tyler with Manats. Yeah, just to answer that last question, our current footprint, you know, we've raised that elevation a lot with a lot of grading, a lot of rock. There was a pretty good photo of the footprint in one of the first slides that she had. I mean, we as of now, that site is pretty well set. I mean, we don't intend to make that larger at this time. That's not to say that, you know, in the future we won't, but we've already done a lot of work to the site, you know, over the past 5 years, as she kind of laid out the, you know, order of how things went down. But yeah, I mean, as of now and how we have used it in the past, you know, two or three temporary, you know, uses. This last one was just last summer. That was our site for our portable concrete plant for our Highway 30 and 580th kind of overpass there, just east of 35. You know, that's the footprint that we use for that one, and I don't really intend for that to grow or anything. And then a comment on the on basically the GPS points that Leanne had mentioned that were incorrect. We did hear back today. We are using Bolton and Mink for our surveying firm, and they got back to us today, and apparently they had submitted the wrong points to FEMA, but I believe all the elevations were correct. We do have a map of where our site is out of the floodplain. I think that was attached in the application. That map is correct. It's just the points that got submitted were for that lot on the east side of South Dayton, which was, I believe, in those documents as well. So they're in the process of getting that corrected now. They have to submit a new application and go through all that. So that is kind of where that is standing. But overall, I mean, this has been a pretty long process. You know, we started probably about this time last year trying to decide what to do with CUP, and then we amended the text amendment just because we felt that heavy industrial was more in line with, you know, concrete crushing and asphalt crushing and, you know, producing concrete out of that plant. So, yeah, that's kind of what led us to go down the heavy industrial, and yeah, that's kind of where we're sitting now. So,
all right, thank you. If there's members of the public, this is a good time to talk to us at the podium. Yep. And if you would state your name and your address for the record, please.
Absolutely. My name is David Jensen. I live at 1215 Willow Drive in Huxley. You'll have to forgive me a little bit. My eyesight isn't the greatest. I don't have my glasses with me, and I couldn't find a pair of cheaters. So I'll fumble through this, okay? I guess I have a couple of questions. So I know you guys have to, you know, according to section 92.062 of the Story County Code of Ordinances, when you approve that, the number one item that you have there is the proposed rezoning shall conform to the C2C comprehensive plan. I assume you guys are all familiar with that. Is that correct? Okay. So the plan then says that there's, that this guy is, it's in a natural resource designated area. And number one principle of the natural resource area designation says that you generally discourage development within that area. And also principle two, you mitigate impacts of proposed developments contiguous to areas identified as natural resource area. So in that plan, you have a natural resource area that you try to discourage development in. Let's see, it's also a zone. Maybe you can help me here because I really don't have my glasses, but it's for, just a second. But maybe you can help me here. What's the other designation besides the natural?
The urban expansion area?
Oh,
is that what you're talking about?
Urban expansion. Yes. Urban expansion area. Okay. So if you go to the C2C and of your comprehensive plan there, and you go to natural resource area, the number one principle there is generally discourage development within these areas in unique circumstances where appropriate development types may enhance the area, recognize and encourage such approaches. And if you go to the urban area, urban expansion area, their number one principle, it occurs in accordance with the applicable city's land use plan and goals. So I think you know probably from the letter that the city of Ames gave you that they are not in favor of this. This does not meet their goals. It doesn't meet the zoning, the future zoning that they have for that area. So I have a piece of property that's right across the road from this site. I mean, you could hit a pitching wedge just across the road there, you know, to it. So it is the old truck stop, if you are familiar with that piece of property. It's an 18-acre piece of property that the city of Ames has told us needs to be a gateway project on this piece of ground. So if you're familiar with a gateway project, it's pretty nice looking stuff. I've had engineers and architects do designing and planning for the last year or so. And just recently here, even in the last week, I have a video presentation that was given to me based on, in that presentation, there was approximately 200 apartments, two restaurants, large green space areas that would be used for small golf things and water. And the drawing is really a very, very, very nice drawing. So now to think about right across the road, I've got heavy industrial dust, noise, not compatible with what I'm thinking for that piece of ground. And that piece of ground is dictated by what the city of Ames is telling me I have to do, because it's a commercial designation with an architectural overlay that they also want to be a gateway project. I know Manassas used this, and it's a temporary site. I would like to see it be temporary and gone. They've used it quite a while for a temporary site. And I think you mentioned the fact that it may be a necessary economic tool to the area, but I think a mile north of this site is a similar place that takes concrete and recycles it. Now, I know Manats can't use that site because it's not Manats. It's specifically owned there. And other contractors really can't use that site because Manats has that site. So I think you're maybe heading down the road where you're going to have Ames look at it, be annexed into Ames and have a time frame. But I think you all know that Ames don't want that. And I just don't want it either, as I'm working to make a gateway project for the city of Ames. Any questions?
Is your site, I'm just curious because I don't know, is your site in a floodplain?
Yes, generally speaking, but I know the city of Ames has done a lot of remediation, the work through the creeks and streams through there, and also Highway 30 is the bridges are getting bigger. So I think that whole floodplain thing is changing. I don't know how it's going to be resolved, but even if it were being a floodplain, you can build in a floodplain. The way we have it designed is all the buildings, structures and stuff such would be out of the floodplain, but parking, the grass area, the golf course issues would still remain in the current floodplain area.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that because I'm really wondering about when there's a perfect storm and that whole area is flooded again, even though they're trying remediation. I'm really concerned about building in floodplains, period. City of Ames or within the city limits or outside the city limits. So that's why I'm just curious about that.
No buildings would be in the floodplain. That is not allowed. So you can change your site. If your site is flat, you can raise this area and keep that area the same and build there, and you can have a flood and it's not going to affect it.
That water has to go somewhere. You know, whether it's Target or Walmart or wherever they're building higher levels, but that water has to go somewhere.
Yes, but
downstream or in the area. So I'm just raising a general concern about development in some of these areas. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is your lot in the city of Ames?
Yes, it is.
I did bring it up.
Yeah, I was just looking at trying to see how. Oh, is the red, that's the city of Ames line?
Yeah, the red line right here is the city boundaries.
Yep.
Are there any other? Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak?
Can I comment on some of his concerns?
If there's no other members of the public that would like to speak, I would be interested. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as that map showed, you know, we're out of city limits there. And as far as kind of what we're doing, I mean, that site is also adjacent from a sand plant that is going to be operating within the same means pretty much that we are. You know, and our rezoning is contingent on a bunch of those items. So it's not like we can just, We won't be able to build a big industrial factory and start, you know, producing steel because the rezoning and the requirements to our specific rezoning won't allow that. So, you know, we're pretty limited on even being able to, you know, have the quote unquote heavy industrial since it's so restricted down to basically just what we are requesting. And that's for, you know, creating concrete, which is basically a portable concrete plant, and crushing concrete and asphalt. So our use is pretty limited, even though we are rezoning to heavy industrial. I mean, we can't do the majority of those items. So I wouldn't be too worried about what we're doing on our site compared to, you know, right across the road is a big sand plant that's, you know, going to be running just as often. So,
okay, thank you. Okay.
I do recognize there is sand pit there. There's also some other commercial there that's not desirable looking. But we are constrained to have a gateway project. And the way that way we have designed that property is to get the housing and all the stuff to basically the southwest corner of my property, which gets me further away from Hallett's and the other commercial area there. So we recognize that, but we think this is a temporary of Manasse and we're going to build right across from there.
Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead, Debbie.
So I'm having trouble wrapping my head around where your property is located. Is it on the west side of interstate? Is it on the east side of the interstate?
West.
It's on the west side of the interstate. Across the street.
Remember the old truck stop?
This is their site here.
Yes.
This is my property. This is Highway 30. That's Dayton Road.
Dayton Road. Oh, okay.
Quick Star is right across the street. Mm-hmm. Dodge dealership. Most important benchmark.
All right. Any discussion?
I just had one question for staff about Mr. Jensen's comment about the land adjacent to the natural resource area on the C2C plan. Because I read that too. I was just... If you could address that specifically.
I won't bother bringing the presentation up, but both Story County Conservation Director Michael Cox recognized that with his comments, and then staff's recommended a condition of approval that only the portion of the property that's removed out of the map floodplain and actually gone through the process and approved by FEMA, removed that be zoned HI heavy industrial, the rest be placed into a conservation easement or rezoned to commercial, or sorry, Greenbelt Conservation, which is our district that we put our natural resources areas in. So we do recognize that development will occur in this natural resources overlay area. It's not necessarily when you have it, there's no development that's allowed. I say that because the standards for approval say if you have 50% or more, you can do a conditional rezoning, which would be applicable in this case.
50% or more of the property?
Of natural resource. Okay. 50% or more of the property is covered by natural resource areas.
Okay.
You either cannot rezone it or you have to do a conditional rezoning.
Okay.
I mean, if we could have gone to the extent if 50% or more, you just can't rezone. So we did put that opportunity because there are some appropriate land uses. And that's for the commission and the board to decide.
Any further discussion amongst the commission members?
Ray, did you actually close public comment?
Oh.
Could you do that for us so we can note that?
If there's no other people from the public that want to speak, then this public comment will be closed. So, all right, public comment for this is closed. Back to the commission discussion.
Tough one.
With this process, I'm just questioning here because it is a tough one. Because, I mean, it's not like it's a mile away from the city limits. It's like it's an odd piece of property in that respect. And so it falls under our jurisdiction. If there had been the agreement with the city of Ames, would this have gone a little smoother? Because we don't have an agreement with the
city. Yeah, I honestly cannot recall what the land use was under the 2080 agreement. I could have at one point, but since we no longer have that, I think
that's what I'm wondering if this is why we're in this situation in that sense, because there's no agreement with the city of Ames. Either we approve it or we don't approve it based on their recommendations, and it's a little disturbing because of those political dynamics happening.
Yeah.
We have one person that wants to see the property developed in a different way, and we have another that's already being used. So, I mean, if we don't approve this, Manassas will still continue doing work on that site, or is that going off the board?
No, the only way that Manassas can continue to legally use that site, as we've been past the deadline, but this is part of the schedule for compliance.
Okay.
If rezoning were not to be approved, Manassas will not be able to use that site.
Okay.
Unless they were to come through a conditional use permit and have that be approved.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that clarity.
And does the annexation, just so I'm reading that correctly, they have to be annexed into the city of Ames? Is that what point number one is saying?
What point number one is saying that Manassas will work with the city of Ames to establish a time frame. At some point, they will be annexed into the city of Ames. It's not saying they have to be annexed in order for this rezoning to be approved, because once it's annexed, our zoning is irrelevant. It's just saying they work with the city of Ames, they'll be annexed within X number of years, and within X number of years of being within the city, they'll pay this fee or whatever that may be. And annexation agreements are not unique to this site. We have several rezonings that have had that type of a agreement.
Well, I would be interested in entertaining a motion from the commission members if there's no other things you guys want to talk about.
Well, could we get the options, please? There we go.
So again, staff recommends alternative number two, which is that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommend approval of the proposed Story County Zoning Map Amendment from the A1 District and CL Light Commercial Light Industrial District to the HI Heavy Industrial District, as put forth in the case number OZM 25000001, with conditions of approval on the previous slide.
So I do so move that we approve number two, because you have gone to the work. You think it's fine. Whatever the city does, this is not for discussion. So I so move that we accept number two as stated.
Can I get somebody to second that? Can I second that?
Yeah, you can. The chair can second.
Oh, then I'll do that. I second that motion.
He's a member.
I would like to get a roll call vote, please.
Youngkin?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Guthrie?
Nay.
Clark?
No.
Jensen abstain.
All right. Well, it will move on to, or it won't move on.
No, it will move on to the Board of Supervisors.
Yep.
With the
oh, yeah, with our recommendation. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Thank you. All right. Any other comments from staff?
You will for sure have a June meeting because you have action on the work program. Yeah, well, we might have one or two CUPs for you. One for sure.
Okay. Any comments from the commission? Okay. Would somebody please move for adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
All right. Meeting adjourned.